Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be back here again from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing to bring you something of the authentic Christian gospel. And of course, we admit and realize right from the very beginning that we can only present something of the gospel to you. And that's why we would invite you to make your way to Thornwood Terrace on the Lord's Day, that Sunday, the day when Jesus Christ rose victorious over the grave. Come to us there at 2 Thornwood Terrace, that's just off Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station. We meet at 11 a.m. and we also meet again at 6:30 p.m. and on the Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. You would be made most welcome. And there we would seek to tell you more of the Lord Jesus Christ, this glorious person, this person who is at the very heart of Christianity, who is the very sum and the substance of Christianity. We recognize that, of course, Christianity is a religion, but Christianity is primarily about a person. It's about this person who's alive. It's about this person who came to this world, who suffered and died, but he's alive. He's alive and well. And we want to tell you about this person because he is the most important person in all the world. And one day, friends, you will meet him. You will meet him. The Bible tells us that we will meet him on that great and glorious day when we shall stand before him. The Bible talks about a day of judgment, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether they be good or bad. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And this is what we're trying to do to some extent this afternoon as we're out here. We want to persuade you. We want you to persuade you to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the Son of God as your Lord and as your Savior. You see, friends, as I said to you there earlier when I quoted that verse, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done. It reminds us that we will give account of all that we have done. And more than that, the Bible would also tell us that we will give account of the things that we have said. And we will give account of even the things that we have thought. And we will be judged. And we will be judged by this perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who came from heaven and lived a perfect life here. We will give account before him of our actions, of our words, and of our deeds. And of course, if you're honest with yourself, if you look at your own lives, you will have to acknowledge that you have broken God's law. God has given us his law. His law may be summed up in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me is the first commandment. And I'm sure as you pass by this afternoon, you probably think that you've never broken that commandment. You've probably said to yourself, I don't have a god. I don't worship any god. Therefore, surely I haven't broken that commandment that says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, I would beg to disagree with you, because the reality is you probably have many gods. What is a god? A god is anything that takes the place of the living God, of the one true and the living God. You see, the Bible would tell us we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And we are to love our neighbours as ourselves. That's how the Bible sums up the Ten Commandments. And surely, if you would look at your life, even if you would look at your life for the last few days, you have to admit that you have not loved the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the reality is, you probably love yourself more than you love God. And therefore, probably, your God is yourself. You think more about yourself than you do about God and about anyone else. And therefore, the Bible would call that idolatry. And that's breaking the first commandment that says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And of course, we can have many gods, not just ourselves. We might worship our spouses, our husbands, our wives, or our partners. We might be terribly taken up with our children and with our families. Our God may well be our work and employment. Our God may well be our money. Our God may be our entertainment. Our God may well be sport. Our God may well be pleasure. And when you think on these things more than you think upon the living God, then you can see these things are replacing the affection that should be given to God, the one who made us and formed us, and the one who has provided for us all the days of our lives. And therefore, it's a very serious thing to consider. Because if we have broken the first commandment, as I do believe we have, all of us, therefore we've broken all the commandments. That's what the Bible teaches us. If we've broken one, we've broken them all. We could think of the one that says, commandment number 7. What does it say? Thou shalt not commit adultery. How many of us have committed adultery? The reality is, probably all of us have committed adultery. Because as far as the Bible is concerned, you can commit adultery in your mind. You can commit adultery by the words you speak. You can commit adultery, obviously, physically. But if you look at a woman to lust after that woman, then you have committed adultery with her in your heart. It's called heart adultery. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, makes that very clear. The Bible was certainly written by man, as the lady quite rightly said, but it was inspired by God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God did not write it, but God inspired the authors so that what they wrote were His very words. That's why we have the Word of God. He inspired man to write it. He led, He inspired, He overruled, He used their personalities, He used their vocabulary, He used their upbringing, He used their education. All of these things that belong to these writers, God used, and God inspired His Word. So that, friends, when we stand here this afternoon and we speak from the Bible, we are not speaking the words of man. We are not speaking the words of churches. We are speaking the very words of God. And therefore, it is incumbent upon us that we listen to this Word. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. He's telling us something here. God had spoken in various ways in times past, but in the New Testament era, He has spoken to us by His Son. The ultimate messenger has come. The Son of God has come, and He has brought wonderful divine revelation and knowledge to us, and we are to listen to that. Because this is not the word of man. It is not the word of churches. It's not the word of ministers. It is the word of God. And God honours His word. God will not let any word of His drop to the ground. Things that have been prophesied in the Old Testament have come to pass. If you ever read the book of Isaiah, Isaiah was written about 600 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. 600 years before He came. And yet He prophesied of the Messiah. And He prophesied that this person would come, the suffering servant, that He would suffer, He would die. And if you look at the book of Psalms, Psalm 22, written by David, there is prophesied that the Messiah would cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? 1,000 years before Christ came, these words were written, and they were literally fulfilled by the Lord Jesus when He was on the cross. This is not the word of man. This is the word of God. And it has been proved and it has been validated throughout all the centuries. And we know there are many people who have tried to knock the word of God. And they cannot. It's still here and it will always be here because it is His word. And because it's His word, it does not change. What does He say in the book of Malachi? I am the Lord, I change not. He doesn't change. God cannot change. Why does He not change? He doesn't change because He's perfect. If He was to change, He could only change for the better or for the worse. But because He doesn't change, He is perfect. And like His Word is perfect. And His Word reveals unto us the will of God for our salvation. And this Word is telling us that we're sinners. And this Word is telling us that in of ourselves, by nature, we are utterly unprepared to meet and to be with the living God. Utterly unprepared and unfit. But through the Gospel, through the Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are accepted in the Beloved. How then can we be accepted? How can we benefit from what Jesus has done? The only way that we can benefit, friends, is by receiving Him. It is by believing upon Him. It is trusting upon Him as our Lord and as our Savior. That's the only way we can do it. Let me read one or two verses from 1 John chapter 5. It's in your Bibles. Read it when you get home. I'm not making this up. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There it is. Clear. Stark. If we're in Christ, if we have Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we're truly trusting upon this person, we are ones who have eternal life. And if we don't trust upon Christ, we don't have eternal life. It's as simple and as clear as that. This is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Jesus said on another occasion, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No one will be in glory. No one will be in heaven. No one will be with the Father unless the Lord Jesus Christ saves them. How can Christ save me? We must call upon Him. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ to us all today. A glorious promise. A promise from the Son of God. One who cannot lie. What does He say to us? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Have you got a burden this afternoon? Well, you don't want to admit it, I'm sure. But you have a burden. You have something that's in the back of your mind. You have something that does trouble you. What is it? Maybe you don't know. You cannot work it out, but there's something that bothers you in your quiet times. Something is troubling you. What is it? I can tell you. It's the fact that you're not right with God. None of us are right with God by nature. We have to be made right. How can we be made right? We can only be made right by being found in Christ and coming to Him. You see, the problem is we have sinned. We have sinned. And sin is a terrible problem. And it creates a barrier between God, our Creator. Because God is a holy God. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look upon iniquity. That's the great God of the Bible, a holy God who cannot look upon sin. And that's the burden you're carrying with you this afternoon. It's the burden of your sin. But there is hope. Where is the hope? The hope is not in religion. The hope is not in good works. The hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to deal with sin, to deal with that terrible problem. There's the great hope. As I see you passing by this afternoon, I wonder how many of you are simply burying your heads in the sand and you're not facing reality. You're not facing reality. What's life all about? You're not really asking yourself deep, serious questions. What is life all about? You're born into this world. You had nothing to do with that. You're born into this world. You grow up. You're a toddler. You're off to school. You get educated. You go to secondary school. You receive more education. Maybe then after that, you leave and go to higher education, or you go and get an apprenticeship. Maybe then you get a partner, or you get married, you get children, you get somewhere to live, life goes on, you get older, you get a house, holidays, cars, possessions. Before you know, you are grandparents and you have grandchildren. Then you're a pensioner. Then what happens? One day you don't wake up. What happens? You've gone into eternity. You've gone into the other world. You've passed on. This is what happens to us all. You know, life, what is it? None of us are getting out of here alive. Where are we going? Where are you going to this afternoon? Do you know where you go when you will die? You know, the Bible tells us we have the answers here. It's not a secret. Many of us are simply burying our heads in the sand. We're not confronting ourselves with these important questions that we should be considering. We may well be young. We may well be fit. But that will not last forever. We all grow old. And indeed, we might die much sooner than we think. We could be involved in an accident. We could have a serious terminal illness. We could be the subject of violence, a crime, and before you know where you are, you're in eternity. Where are you going to go? Friends, the Bible tells us it's either heaven or it's hell. We want to tell you this afternoon that to go to heaven, you must have Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to go to church. It's not enough to go to Mass or to confession or whatever you want to do. It's not enough to follow a religion. It doesn't matter. You must have Christ. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave His life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He Himself did say, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. The disciples went around and they preached the gospel and turned the world upside down with their message, and they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby ye must be saved. And that's why we're here, to tell you something about Christ, that you might have Him as your Lord and Savior, because He alone can forgive your sins. He alone can prepare you for glory. He alone can save you from hell. He alone. Why? Why can He save and not others? He can save because, friends, He suffered. He suffered. He suffered the pains of hell on Calvary's tree. He stood in there as our substitute. And when we believe upon Him, our sins are forgiven. We are reconciled. We have the gift of eternal life. We have God as our Father. We have this wonderful hope through grace. No wonder we cannot keep this to ourselves. No wonder we want to tell all. Because, friends, we're all passing on to eternity. We all are. Our lives are short. Our lives are brief. What is your life? It is but a vapor. Can you not say to yourself, even thinking for a moment, wow, things are moving fast. Here we are, it's nearly September. Nearly September, the year is going. Where's it gone? We can say this with our lives. And it seems as you get older, it seems that your life passes faster and faster and quicker and quicker. Where is the time gone? Well, friends, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get right with God. Today is the day to get right with God. Who can keep us to a church building? Why should we confine ourselves to a church building when we have a message that's for all? And we have a love for mankind to tell them the truth as it is in Jesus. Because, friends, you may well bury your head in the sands today. You may well reject Jesus today. But one day you will be confronted with Him. One day we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single one of us. And we'll give account of the things done in the body, whether good or bad, according to what He had done. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why we're here. In order to bring this person to your attention, that you might be found in Him. Today is the day of salvation. Don't leave off. Don't think that you may have another opportunity. You have been taught and you have been told about Christ today in order that you might respond, in order that you might seek Him. The Bible tells us we are to seek Him while He may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way and seek the Lord. That's what Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 55. To seek the Lord while He may be found. We're here from Partick, and it's a pleasure to bring the good news of the gospel to you this afternoon. And may the Lord be pleased to bless His word to you. Thank you.
I remember you every morning and five. Remember my work and five. Oh. Not to shake hands.
Okay.
I remember you every
Thank
morning.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.